The scripture text for our meditation is the gospel lesson that was read before. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you tune into many Christian radio or television stations, the focus of the talk shows, Bible studies, sermons is often on the end times. Frequently hear discussions from that are from the Bible, along with some current events, which they say indicate that we're living in the last days. And this horrendous war in Israel and Gaza in recent weeks has even more speculation and predictions that the end of the world can't be far behind. Predictions of the imminent end of the world have been going on for hundreds of years. Back in Martin Luther's day, 500 years ago, many people thought that the end of the world was near because of all of the turmoil in the world and in the church. The Ottoman Turks were threatening to overrun Europe. The Black Plague had killed almost a third of the people in Europe. There was war. There was spiritual upheaval in the church. And that through the centuries, there have been many who have speculated about the end of the world. 1844, William Miller predicted a specific day for the end of the world based on his calculations supposedly from the Bible, and many of his followers sold their possessions, put on white robes, and gathered on a hill to be received by Jesus when he returned to earth. In 1999, many people right before the millennium predicted that the end of the world was going to happen in 2000. I remember back in 1987, a member gave me a little book. She was quite disturbed that she had read this book, which predicted that Christ would return to earth in 1988. It was entitled, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Occur in 1988. It sold more than a million copies, created quite a stir. Year, the author wrote a book entitled 89 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Occur in 1989, but it only sold 50,000 copies. And I think that was his last book. One after another of these supposed biblical prophecies about the rapture, the millennium, they proved to be merely the product of someone's imagination, just like the Book of Mormon was. But yet, millions of Christians are fascinated by every new prediction that comes along. Instead of listening to and following the guidelines of Jesus and St. Paul in the Bible. In our gospel lesson, Jesus offers some helpful guidelines for understanding the end times. First of all, he says, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming to be the Messiah." I remember not that many years ago, a man by the name of Sun Myung Moon, founder of the Unification Church, gathered millions of followers from his native Korea, throughout the United States, and all around the world. He claimed that Jesus never finished his work here on earth because he never got married. And so Father Moon was able to father many children. And he said, God sent him to be the second Messiah. Millions were deceived. Many of them gave Father Moon all of their money. Watch out that no one deceives you. These days, there are few claiming to be the actual Messiah. But there are plenty of people who claim to have special insights and revelations into biblical prophecy. And many of them, I'm sure, are very sincere in their quest to discover deeper truths in the scriptures, while others are merely charlatans. But either way, we need to heed the warnings of Jesus regarding anyone who makes specific predictions about the end of the world. No one knows the day nor the hour, Jesus said, not even the angels in heaven. And if even the angels in heaven don't know, beware of anyone who claims to know. Although we should not become obsessed exact time of his return. Jesus says that we should always be prepared for his coming again at the end of time, as well as being prepared for our own end time here on this earth. All of us likely have had friends or loved ones who have been taken from us seemingly before their time. None of us know when an accident, illness, or tragedy might suddenly take us from this world to our eternal home. I know I've had more than one very close call. Jesus is saying we need to always be prepared. And we do that by living each day in a relationship of faith and forgiveness with our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that there is nothing that you or I must do in order to merit or earn God's forgiveness and salvation. Our living relationship with Jesus is a gift of God's undeserved grace, which he shares with all those who have been baptized into Christ and have placed their faith and trust in him as their Lord and Savior. But like any human relationship that's going to be loving and enduring, our relationship of faith with Jesus needs to be renewed day by day, as we spend time with our Lord in prayer, in his word. And it's a relationship that needs to be refreshed and renewed week after week, as we gather together in God's house to receive our Lord's cleansing and strength and renewal through his holy word and Holy Son. In our text, Jesus shares with us several signs of the end time. And almost all of them are signs that are experienced by people in every generation. These signs are designed to keep us on our toes. That is, to keep us living in a state of constant readiness for the end of time, or the end of our own time on earth, so that we will not get to think, well, I can always wait till I'm older, and wait, then I'll have time to repent, change my ways. Jesus says, don't be alarmed. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Those things are going to happen, but the end is still to come. He says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. We might add hurricanes and tornadoes and fires and floods. Those signs are as current as the evening news. Their purpose is not to lead us to be fearful or to drive us to despair, but rather always to lead us to Christ in repentance and faith. For it is in Christ that we find our sure and certain hope for a blessed future that is truly out of this world. In the midst of all of the uncertainties in which we live, in this crazy, messed up world, that is the one certainty we can cling to, namely where we will spend eternity. Because it doesn't depend on our goodness or achievements, but only on the grace and goodness and achievements that Christ accomplished for us on the cross. He gives us this sure promise, whoever stands firm to the end will be saved. But all these signs, Jesus concludes, are only the beginning of birth pains. However, the final sign, which he mentions, is one he says that will precede his final coming. This gospel of the kingdom, he says, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. By God's grace, I believe this sign is beginning to be fulfilled in our day. Most people in the world today are able to access the good news of the gospel through the airwaves, the internet, their cell phones. In many countries around the world, especially in Africa below the Sahara, as I've mentioned before, the gospel is spreading rapidly, primarily through the efforts of millions of committed Christians who are eagerly sharing the message of Christ's forgiving love and saving power, which has transformed their own hearts and lives and many times transformed their entire villages. For example, as I mentioned before, the largest Lutheran church body in the world today is no longer in Europe or in the United States, but in Ethiopia, where the Makana Jesus Lutheran Church has grown in 50 years from 500,000 members to more than 9 million members today, more than there are in all of North America. What Jesus is saying, however, is not that we can somehow speed up God's timetable for the end of the world by spreading his message of salvation. Rather, he is cautioning us that we should not become so fascinated or focused on the end times that we get distracted from his central mission and ministry that he has entrusted to us as individuals and as a congregation and as a church body. That is to make disciples, to share the light and love and saving grace of Christ with as many people as possible during the time that he gives us here on earth. Whether or not Christ returns tomorrow or next year or in a couple thousand years, which of course in God's sight are only like a couple days, the Bible says a day in the Lord's sight is like a thousand years. Nevertheless, the urgency of our mission is just as critical, because people are living and dying without knowing that Jesus and his word of truth are the true and only source of spiritual light and truth. So through our Christ-centered work with witness, through our loving and caring actions, through our generous support of those who go forth to the ends of the earth with our prayers and support, we have the privilege, responsibility, to lead others out of their spiritual darkness to live with us in God's life and truth until that blessed day when our Lord will take us home to heaven, where we will live in his perfect love and joy and peace forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds secure and steadfast in Christ Jesus our Savior, as we follow him and serve him in joy and blessedness all the days of our life and forevermore. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.